was horrible. A giant leech got me.
You're missing all the fun. These people are great. Some of them have been partying all night long. They sing songs till they get too cold, and then they go sit by the fire and they get warm, and then they come back and they sing some more.
Yeah, they're hicks, Rita. So, you sleep okay without me? You tossed and turned, didn't you?
You're incredible.
Who told you?
Oh, it's Groundhog time.
Okay, on me in
3, 2, 1.
Once a year, the eyes of the nation turn to this tiny hamlet in western Pennsylvania to watch a master at work. The master? Punxsutawney Phil, the world's most famous weatherman, the groundhog, who, as legend has it, can predict the coming of an early spring. So I guess the question we have to ask ourselves today is, does Phil feel lucky?
Then it's the same old shtick every year. The guy comes out with a big stick and raps on the door. They pull the little rat out. They talk to him. The rat talks back. And then they tell us what's going to happen.
Oh, isn't he cute?
Hey, do you like your guys with the prominent upper teeth?
No.
This February 2nd at 7:20 and 30 seconds, Punxsutawney Phil, the seer of seers, prognosticator of prognosticators, emerged reluctantly but alertly in Punxsutawney, PA, and stated in Groundhoggies, "I definitely see a shadow." Sorry, folks, 6 more weeks of winter.
On me in 3, 2, 1.
This is one time where television really fails to capture the true excitement of a large squirrel predicting the weather. I, for one, am very grateful to have been here. From Punxsutawney, this is Phil Connors. So long.
Okay, we'll try it again without the sarcasm.
We got it.
Prima donnas.
This week on the podcast, sing I've Got You, Babe by Insurance from Ned Ryerson. And make sure you have $339.88 in your checking account. That's right. This week we're talking about Groundhog Day on 100 Movies I Love.
100 Movies You Love.
I'm Jason Martin.
I am Paul Conlon.
Yeah, and we're talking about Groundhog Day, the number 2 movie on my all-time top 100 list. So we're getting up there. We're almost done with the whole thing. The song opens up with the song and the credits. And
clouds.
Yeah, a lot of clouds. And Phil's doing the weather for Channel 9 Pittsburgh. And he's doing the weather, and he's blowing the clouds on the weather map, goofing around, talking about...
It's like he's blowing Pittsburgh.
Yeah, exactly. And he's talking about, he's generally pretty funny, making it's like over here in California, some really overpriced real estate. And, he's like, there's a front headed my way. What's this giant blue thing? Talking about the front on the map.
Yeah.
And said that it's not going to hit Pittsburgh. It's going to push off and hit Altoona. And the anchor woman says, she's talking about going to Punxsutawney for the Groundhog Day. And she says, it sounds like a lot of fun. Sounds like you really enjoy it. And as soon as the camera turns off, he takes off the other direction.
Yeah, but he also says, this is like your third year there, Phil. And then he goes, four.
Yeah. And when the camera's off, she said, he says to her, for your information, hairdo, there's a major network interested in me. And Chris Elliott's character says, that would be the Home Shopping Network.
I think they do a pretty good job of establishing that he's a dick pretty
early
on.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's pretty easy to tell for sure. And you see they mentioned, what's his name that just died, the actor? From,
Willie Garson.
Yeah, yeah. That's in this little part of the movie. He's talking about because he's the back. He's the secondary weatherman, and he's talking about Rita. So we get to sort of understand here. Rita is a producer, but she's new at the station. And, you know, she's fun. And it shows her playing around with the blue screen.
Yeah. And she's wearing like a blue coat. So right. Part of her is missing.
Right. Right. Monitor. Yeah. And Rita's playing around with the blue screen. And you understand that they're all headed to Punxsutawney to cover Groundhog Day. And this is where the song, the Weatherman song, which is pretty, I've seen the movie so many times. I know the song pretty well, actually.
But it was written for the movie by Harold Ramis and someone else, I think.
Oh, was it? Okay. I mean, I'm not surprised, but yeah, I've heard it so many times because of the movie, but it's a pretty good movie, or a pretty good song, actually. And you get a shot of Pittsburgh overhead as the van is leaving. And it shows them, you have the van leaving toward Punxsutawney. And Phil and Rita are talking, you know, Phil in the van feels like someday someone's going to see me interviewing a groundhog and think I don't have a future. And Rita's talking about how she likes the Groundhog Day, and she's, you know, he comes out, he doesn't see his shadow, he sees his shadow. You know, it's great. And basically Phil's just...
She does a little scrunchy nose thing.
Right, 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 with her teeth. And Phil is just generally very negative about pretty much everything. And you see that they arrive in Punxsutawney, and you see at the movie theater, which...
was Heidi 2.
Heidi 2. Is that actually a movie?
It says Heidi 2, family classic.
Right. Was there even a Heidi 2?
I think there was. Yeah. But as a family classic, probably it just shows that the type of movie they were getting at the theater.
Right, right. they pull up to the Pennsylvania Hotel, and Phil says, I can't stay here. I stayed here a couple years ago. It's no good. And Rita's like, you're not staying here. I booked you on a nice bed and breakfast on Cherry Street. He says, I think this is one of the traits of a great producer. Keep the talent happy. And Rita says, anything I can do? And he says, would you help me with my pelvic tilt? She laughs and says, within reason. And this is where Larry, and a couple times, he calls him prima donnas.
Did he just refer to himself as the talent?
The talent, yeah. Rita says, would you like to come to dinner with Larry and me? And he says, no, thank you. I've seen Larry eat. And he sticks his hand in his mouth. Larry says he actually calls himself the talent. Next thing we see is an alarm clock, 6 a.m. And I Got You, Babe, is playing on the radio. And you have the morning DJs saying, okay, campers, rise and shine. Don't forget your booties because it's cold out there. It's cold out there every day. What is this, Miami Beach? Not hardly. Something you hear over and over and over again during the movie, different longer versions or shorter versions, but you hear that, several times. They're talking about, do you think Phil's going to see his shadow? That's right. Woodchuck chuckers, it's Groundhog Day. And they're making sounds like pigs. That's where Phil walks out. And, I can't remember the guy's name now, but, he was in Home Alone. He played a small part in Home Alone. He played the Santa that Kevin encountered.
Yeah.
He's also in that show, Herman's Head.
And the first time I ever saw this movie, I thought he was one of the Murray brothers. And then I had to look him up. But this movie, he's not. I can't remember his name. But
Yeah.
Because he reminds me of Joel Murray.
Yeah. And, you know, he has a, well, I wouldn't say he has a major part, but he has a major part because of the nature of the movie. He has a small part, but it's repeated about four or five times. He said, do you think Phil's going to, you know, you think Phil's going to see a shadow? He says, are you off to see the groundhog? He said, yes, I am. You think it's been early spring? I'm predicting March 21st. And he laughs. Good guess. You know, I think that actually is the first day of spring. it just shows pretty much everyone else being friendly and him just being a smart ass. Yeah.
Smart ass dick.
Yeah. He gets down the stairs, to Mrs. Lancaster, who's running the breakfast, the bread and breakfast. She said, did you sleep well, Mr. Connors? He said, I slept alone, Mrs. Lancaster. And it's interesting that as much as he's a dick, he doesn't know her name at least. You know, seems like it'd be something like he'd just call her by the wrong name or forget her name or whatever. But, you know, he does know her name. And she said, he says, she says, would you like some coffee? He says, I don't suppose there's any chance of getting an espresso or a cappuccino. She says, I really don't know. And he says, how to spell espresso or cappuccino. she says, I hope you enjoy the festivities. And he's just laughing, you know. But he goes into a whole actual weather talk. Like, you know, it's like, well, this moisture pushing off on the east is going to hit us about, you know, like this. And he ends up stopping and saying, did you want to talk about the weather? Or you just making chit chat. She's just like, chit chat. And she says, will you be checking out today, Mr. Connors? Chance of departure today, 100%. And which is a great little device for this movie.
Showing the progress of his mindset. His mindset,
his confidence of what's going on. And the fact that he's a weatherman, it's a natural way for him to speak too. It's the first time he passes the homeless guy, pretends to reach for money, and keeps walking.
And pretends he didn't have any.
Right, right. He kind of like half-heartedly looks in his pockets, but just keeps walking. You know, he doesn't even, it's funny, he doesn't say no, he just, whatever, he keeps going. And then here's a pretty important part of the movie. We got a little, we're going to do a little reading here. this is the first time that Phil meets Ned.
It's not the first time Phil meets Ned. It's the first time in the movie Phil meets Ned.
True, true. And then here's what happens. Phil, hey, Phil, Phil Connors, I thought that was you.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for watching.
Hey, 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 now don't you tell me you don't remember me, because I sure as heck try to remember you.
Not a chance.
Ned Ryerson, Neil Nose Ned, Ned the Head, come on, buddy, Case Western High. Ned Ryerson, I did the whistling belly button trick at the high school talent show, bing. Ned Ryerson, I got the shingles real bad senior, almost didn't graduate, bing. Ned Ryerson, I dated your sister Mary Pat a couple times till you told me not to. Not anymore. Well,
Ned Ryerson?
Bing!
Bing! So did you turn pro with that whistling belly button thing, Ned, or?
No, Phil. I saw insurance.
What a shock.
Do you have insurance? Because if you do, you could always use a little more. Am I right? Am I right? You're right.
Ned, I would love to stand here and talk to you, but I'm not going to.
That's all right. I'll walk with you. You know, whenever I see an opportunity now, I charge it like a bull. Ned the Bull, that's me. You know, I've got friends who live and die by the extrajudicial tapes. And I say, hey, it's all one big crapshoot anywho. Sorry.
It's this Groundhog Day weather.
Yeah.
That's okay, Ned. Let it out.
Tell me, have you ever heard of single premium life? Because I think that really could be the ticket for you. Oh, God, it's so good to see you. What are you doing for dinner?
Something else. It's been good seeing you, Needlehead. Take care.
Woo-hoo, watch out for the first step. It's a doozy.
Are you going to be okay there, young man?
Yeah,
I think so. You're not dying on me, are you?
I think I'm good.
You know, we got one more movie after this, number one.
Yeah, yeah. Be like Lou Gehrig. I'm like,
the happiest man on the face of the
earth. I'm going to retire and then I'll be gone like a month later. So Phil was on his way to the town square or whatever. Pennsylvania Polka is playing at the town square. And Phil was talking about Rita's talking about how they've been up all night partying and dancing. And he's like, yeah, they're hicks, Rita. He gets up to the... it's time for the little ceremony, and they're talking about, you know, it's groundhog time. Phil's doing the news on the news, actually. He said, it's groundhog time. It's time for the world's most famous weatherman. He said, then it's the same old shtick every year. The guy raps on the door. They pull out a little rat out. They talk to him. The rat talks back. They tell us what's going to happen. And they get the, the groundhog comes out, and the mayor announces, you know, blah, 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 groundhoggies. Phil says, I definitely see a shadow. And everyone's booing. And one guy, like, has the blizzard sign, and it's upside down. I like that little touch. then Phil, doing the stuff for the news, says, I am, one, very grateful to be here. And he walks off, and then Larry again calls him, says, prima donnas, you know. And they're talking about, I don't know, Phil, perhaps it's this great, this giant blizzard we're not supposed to get. And this is where they're on the road trying to drive back to Pittsburgh. And Phil gets out and talks to the state trooper. And, you know, he's talking about, you know, can we get through? And state trooper basically tells him to get back in the van and you're not going anywhere. And he says, I make the weather. And he's like, you know, you can go back to Punxsutawney, you can freeze to death.
I think what he said was more clever was like, you can go back to Punxsutawney or you can go ahead and die.
Yeah. Well, he says, but he says,
go ahead and freeze to death.
Right. Right.
Which is he's go like, back or go ahead.
Right. And he's like, I'm thinking. Yeah. And it shows him at the payphone, I think at the diner probably. And he's talking to someone on there saying, don't you have a line open for emergencies or celebrities? I'm both.
Now, this is, I think, an unsung, very important moment, the phone call right there. Mm-hmm. Because as he's trying to talk on the phone, mm-hmm. a guy comes by and hits him in the head with a shovel. Right. And my theory is that's what starts everything going up.
Really?
Yeah, because it's got to, they never really explain anything or why
right,
it's happening.
Right.
But everyone looks for explanations. And then the trivia stuff I read that in the original concept, there was a curse put on him by an ex-girlfriend yeah. mm-hmm. to, you know, relive his life as a groundhog or something like that. mm-hmm. But then none of that ever came to the movie. Mm-hmm. But this guy hitting him on the head with the mm-hmm. shovel just before everything goes sideways did happen. Mm-hmm. So you got to look at what's in the movie.
Yeah. yeah. That's, I mean, I never thought about it, but. It's definitely, you know, because these types of movies a lot of times ends up with someone bonking their head or something yeah. like that. So, yeah.
Remember, Wizard of Oz was all about being bonked on the head.
Yeah.
So was Casino, although for different reasons.
Yeah. So basically, yeah, he gets hit in the head with the snow shovel here. And next thing you see him in the bar and he gets a drink from, and he says, can I have one more of these with some booze in it? And this bartender, you see him like 8 different times during the movie, look over and just shake his head.
And he gives that same look to nearly everyone for different reasons.
Right.
Which
right,
is funny.
Isn't right. It? Exactly. Like, you know, Larry hitting on, what's her
Nancy,
name? Nancy. And,
Phil hitting on.
Right. Rita. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And it's like the same thing. He's just shaking his head at him. Yeah. They're talking about the groundhog, and he says, no thanks, I had groundhog for lunch. Tastes like chicken. This is where the first day, well, pretty much ends, almost ends. Phil's in the shower, and he jumps out because it's cold water, and he talks to Mrs. Lancaster. And she's like, and he's like, no, there wouldn't be today. Any hot water? No, there wouldn't be today. Like, she never explains it. Just the fact that, no, of course not. There wouldn't be hot water today. He goes to sleep, and then he wakes up in the morning, and 6 a.m., and I Got You, Babe is playing again. And you hear him saying, okay, campers, rise and shine. Nice going. And he interrupts it. He comes in and says, nice going, boys, you're playing yesterday's tape. And they're like, it's Groundhog Day. And they're doing the exact same thing. And he looks out because the streets were, there was basically almost no snow, Groundhog Day morning. And he looks out and the snow that they got is all gone. And the streets were packed with a lot of people too. You know, if it was a normal day there wouldn't be a lot of people walking around.
It was the exact same scene you saw the day before.
Yeah. Yeah. And he comes outside and the guy out there says, morning, off to see the groundhog. He says, early spring. And he doesn't know what's going on. He keeps walking. He talks to Mrs. Lancaster. Did you ever had deja vu? I don't think so, but I could check with the kitchen.
Which is a funny line.
Yeah, yeah. He's getting ready to leave. And she says, will we be checking out today, Mr. Connors? 80 chance of department sure today, 80%, 75-80. He walks outside, and the woman who we later meet is the piano teacher. You know, he says, where's everyone going? You know, she says, Gobbler's Knob, Groundhog Day. He says, it's still once a year, isn't it? He passes the homeless guy again and then checks his pockets again. And this is Ned. You know, Ned comes up to him, talks to him a little bit. And he's like, Ned? And he's like, Ned Ryerson? And then Ned's happy because he
remembered him.
Yeah. He steps in the puddle again and he laughs at him.
Ooh, watch that first step. It's a doozy.
Yeah. They get to the, he comes to the town square and Rita says, do me a favor. I need someone to give me a good hard slap in the face. And she slapped him really hard. And
she did. It was pretty funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
Give me a good hard slap.
Yeah.
And, which is a little bit of foreshadowing as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Larry says, if you need any help with the other cheek, I'm right here. And he's back doing on the you know, for the news. He says, well, it's Groundhog Day again. And he's looking around to see what's going on, you know, and trying to figure out what's going on. And the same things are happening. He ends up throwing the mic down and just, you know, just walking away. he's saying he's calling someone and about like needing help and talks about, oh, this is where, I think this is where he goes to the, no, this isn't it, yeah, but he says, what if there was no tomorrow? There wasn't one today. This is a pretty great line. What if there is no tomorrow? There wasn't one today. And he's still awake at 4:04 a.m. He takes a pencil and he breaks it and he lays one on top of the clock, the alarm clock, and one on the table in front of the alarm clock. And then he wakes up in the morning. I got you, babe, is playing. And the pencil was in one piece. And, you know, it's just there again.
So I read a little trivia on that pencil thing. Apparently, they wanted him to trash the entire hotel room. And it was just completely destroyed. And he'd wake up the next morning like normal. Mm-hmm. But when they were thinking about the logistics and all, they're like, man, this could be a lot to do to film, blah, 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 blah. So they just broke the pencil.
Really?
And did the pencil thing.
Okay.
And it's achieved the same result.
Right, exactly. It's just
as... But change something now, we'll be seeing in the morning, and it was different.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good, because, I mean, it's just, you know, most of the time, less is more, you know? Yeah. Just
plus, it made him less of a violent sociopath, that guy, more of a, I'm stuck in a bad situation kind of guy.
Yeah, yeah. He passes by the, going to town, he passes by, put the key players, the guy in the hallway, Mrs. Lancaster, homeless guy, Ned, doesn't talk to him. He just basically rushes by all of them that day. And he gets to Rita to talk about what he's going through. And, you know, he's like, you know, forget it. It's a creative meeting. And Larry says, prima donnas, you know. And this is where he's telling Rita about him reliving the day over and over again. She says, I'm waiting for the punchline. And one of the Ricks in the movie, the real name Rick, one of them, I think it's Rick Dukeman.
Rick Dukeman, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, they're in the diner right now.
Right, right. He overhears him that his name is Phil. He's like, you mean Phil, like the Groundhog Phil? And like the Groundhog Phil. And of course, that's a good part of the plot too, the fact that he's named the same as the Groundhog, which is a good thing.
It's Groundhog Day. Right. He's the main character.
Right.
His name is Phil.
Right.
The movie's about him.
Right. Mm. Yeah, exactly. And he's a weatherman, which ties in with the whole Groundhog Day thing too. So
Phil predict the weather.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which was one of the working titles of this movie.
Oh,
Phil
okay.
and Phil predict the weather.
It's terrible.
Yeah, good thing they changed it.
Yep. This is where Larry walks up and tells him, you know, you guys ready? We better get going. We're going to stay ahead of the weather. And this is where he, Rita tells him you should, you know, see a doctor or whatever. He goes to a doctor and gets an x-ray. The doctor played by Harold Ramis, of course. And
the great late.
Yeah.
Harold Ramis.
Yeah. And he's looking, and it's funny because he's looking at him. He's like, I don't see anything, but it's clearly like clear that he can't see very well too. He's like moving his eyes, like he can't really see what he's looking at. He's like, I think you might need a psychiatrist. So he goes and talks to a psychiatrist, and he tells him, you know, exactly what's going on. And he's like, you must have studied something like this in school. Yeah, abnormal psychology, I guess. He says, I think we should meet again. How's tomorrow for you? And he just puts a pillow on his face and punches his face. And he said, is that not good? And the guy who plays the psychiatrist here was probably his biggest role. He played on the Veep, the HBO show.
Oh, really?
He played Julie Louis-Dreyfus' ex-husband.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and he's pretty good on there. He's been in other things too, I'm sure, but that's the biggest role that I think of from him. And it's, I mean, so long ago that, you know, it took me a second to recognize who I was looking at, but yeah, that's him. And and this is where he's at the bowling alley talking with Rick Dukeman and Rick Overton. He's talking about, that was a pretty good day, talking about laying on the beach, making love like sea otters, eating lobster and whatever. He says, why can't I get that day over and over and over? And he says, what would you do if you were stuck in one place and every day is exactly the same and nothing you did matters? And this is where Rick Overton says, that about sums it up for me, you know? Yeah. They're leaving the bowling alley. One of the guys is going to drive. He's like, you know, he's falling over. He's like, give me the keys. And the other guy's going to drive. He says, do you want to throw up here? And I'll throw up in the car. He said, I think both. Yeah. One of them says, hey, who else could go for some flapjacks right now? But Phil's the one driving. He's saying, what if there was no tomorrow? They're telling us, like, there'd be no consequences. There could be nothing. We could do whatever we wanted. He's like, that's right. We could do wherever we wanted. That's where a real turn in the movie where he gets to the.
And he kind of like also veers the car off the path, goes up on the sidewalk and smashes into a
mailbox. Yeah. And he says, if you wanted to hit mailboxes, we could have let Ralph drive. cop is chasing him and is like, you know, I've been told my whole life, you know, clean up your room, be nice to your sister. And all this stuff is like, oh, yeah, and don't drive on the railroad tracks. And they're like, oh, that's what I happen to agree with. And the train's actually coming. And he's like, yeah, I'm betting he's going to swerve first. He's just laughing. And he swerves the car off the train tracks at the last second, just laughing. And the cops finally pull him over. He said, let me handle this. Three cheeseburgers, two large fries, Coke, two chocolate shakes, and some flapjacks.
And some flapjacks. That's a good line. Apparently, it's based on a couple of real-life incidences from other celebrities that got pulled over for driving really? Or speeding, whatever, and they said
something. Like they're ordering in a drive-through window?
Yeah. Window. I'll take a burger, fries, oh, okay. Sprite, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And he says, too early for flapjacks? And then you see him shutting the jail cell on him. And then you hear, I got you, babe, kicks in at 6 o'clock in the morning. But this time he wakes up really happy. So he's answering the questions Mrs. Lancaster. Before they're even asked, he already has the answers. Yeah, I'd love some coffee. Yeah, I'd like this. He says, was anyone looking for me? Maybe a large gentleman, a hat, basically describing a cop. He grabs her, kisses her on the lips. He walks by the homeless guy again, says, catch you tomorrow, Pops. This is where Ned walks up. And he's like, Ned? Bam, just punches him right in the face. And then he stops on the sidewalk and lets someone else step in the puddle. And then just smiles. And then hops over.
He's learning from his past mistakes.
Yeah.
Which is, interestingly enough, probably the whole point of the movie.
Yeah.
You know, if you could learn from your past mistakes, what would you become?
Yeah.
If you'd really learn from them.
Yeah. Yeah. He's at the diner and there's a huge, huge amount of food. He's got like everything they serve at the diner in front of him. He's putting with his hand a giant whole piece of cake in his mouth.
Sponge cake, apparently. I was reading some trivia on that. He was offered a spit bucket. So he like puts it up to his mouth, chew it up, spit it out, and have to eat it, swallow it.
He said,
nah, we'll just go with it. Yeah. And apparently the sponge cake made him sick.
Oh, really? Okay. He's actually grabbing the carafe of coffee and drinking it straight out of the carafe. And he's also smoking while he's doing it. He's just eating everything. Rita's talking about how, you know, years would be advancing or something like that. And he says, my years aren't advancing as much as you might think. Rita says, you know, what makes you special? And he's like, that's exactly what would make me special. I don't even have to floss. She writes a poem by Sir Walter Scott. And he's just laughing. He's like, no, I thought it was Willard Scott. He's talking about wanting to stay in the town a little longer. And And Rita says, I thought you didn't like this town. He said, it's beginning to grow on me. The next day, we see where he goes up to in the diner. He goes up to this woman and, what's your name? Nancy Taylor. Where did you go to high school? Lincoln in Pittsburgh. Oh, and 12th grade, who was your English teacher? Mrs. Walsh? Walsh? Oh, okay. Nancy Taylor. Lincoln. Mrs. Walsh. Okay. And just leaves. And then smash cut the next day, he walks up to her and is like, Nancy Taylor? You know, basically, like, I sit behind you, Mrs. Walsh's English class. Ugh. And
he got all the information from her, then set her up the next day.
Yeah, yeah. And this is where he's actually in front of a fire. He's making out with her, and he proposes to her. You know, this might be some sad.
Well, before he did that, is because he called her Rita.
Right, right, right.
He's like, and she goes, "What?" Mm-hmm. He goes, "What?"
Mm-hmm. And then you know, she kind of ends up saying, "Whatever." You know, she just can't. She doesn't care.
He calls her Rita again. She goes, "Nancy." He goes, "Whatever."
Yeah, yeah. And we'll be back right after this.
Phil? Hey, Phil? Phil? Phil Connors? Phil Connors, I thought that was you.
How you doing? Thanks for watching.
Hey, hey. Now, don't you tell me you don't remember me, because I sure as heck fire remember you.
Not a chance.
Ned! Ryerson! Needle Nose Ned, Ned the Head. Come on, buddy. Case Western High. Ned Ryerson. I did the whistling belly button trick at the high school talent show. Bing! Ned Ryerson got the shingles real bad senior year. Almost didn't graduate. Bing again. Ned Ryerson. I dated your sister Mary Pat a couple times till you told me not to anymore. Well?
Ned Ryerson?
Bing!
Bing! So did you turn pro with that belly button thing, Ned, or
no, what? Phil, I sell insurance.
What a shock.
Do you have life insurance? Because if you do, you could always use a little more. Am I right or am I right or am I right? Right, right, right.
Ned, I would love to stand here and talk with you, but I'm not going to.
See. Hey, that's all right. I'll walk with you. You know, whenever I see an opportunity now, I charge it like a bull. Ned the Bull, that's me now. You know, I got friends of mine who live and die by the actuarial tables, and I say, hey, it's all one big crapshoot anywho. Tell me, have you ever heard of single premium life? Because I think that really could be the ticket for you. Oh, God! It is so good to see you. What are you doing for dinner?
Something else. It's been great seeing you, Needlehead. Take care.
Watch out for that first step. It's a doozy.
We're back here on the podcast talking about Groundhog Day, the number two movie on my list. This movie on Rotten Tomatoes, the critics scored 96.
96, wow.
So what it should be for sure.
Yes.
Should be 96. And the public score 88. Still pretty good.
The public score was less?
Yeah. Yeah.
Usually they're smarter than the critics.
Yeah. I'm a little surprised by that one, but I'm pleased they got a 96 on the critic score. Very, very few critics didn't think this was a good movie. And this is even, you know, given hindsight now, that score would be even higher, I think, now than 96. The budget on the movie, $15 million. Box office, $71 million. Inflated box office, $135 million. So,
not the.
This movie is box office near the bottom. Near the bottom of my list.
They made profit.
Oh, they did. They did. But, you know, it's a little ridiculous that how famous this movie is now. Compared to the money it made, this movie is near the bottom.
But, you know, this is one of those early 90 movies that I'm pretty sure a ton load of the money that it made was in the video rental stuff. Mm-hmm. What's the Redbox? Redbox, early Netflix.
Yeah.
When they, you know, mail stuff out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I'm sure that's not recorded as box
office.
It's not. And I'm sure that they made a ton of movie.
Yeah. I mean, this movie is
a ton of money.
In the bottom 10, probably in my whole top 100 as far as box office, but as far as number of people that have seen it, number of times it's been seen, it's in the top 20 probably of all the movies on my list. So anyway, won a BAFTA award for best screenplay.
That's the British.
Yeah, yeah, and it's on the AFI top 400 nominated films, the 2007 list only. Wasn't on the original 1998 nominated films, but
where was it on that top 200?
Oh, you mean the IMDb? No.
On the AFI nominated list, where was it?
It's just it's not. There's no ranking.
Oh,
as far as the nominated ones, you just it's either nominated or not.
It's either nominated or not, and then either makes the list.
If it makes the top 100, then you'll know where it is on the list. It didn't make the list. It even come close, probably. Mm-hmm. But it made the most recent.
Made your list.
Yeah, the most important thing made my list. The number on the AFI top 100 comedies of all time, number 34 on that list. This movie was released February 12th, 1993. Do you remember when you first saw the movie?
I believe I saw it in the theaters. I'm trying to think what I was even doing in the 90s. 93, I was 29. I really don't recall what I was working at. Or,
mm-hmm.
It probably took me a while to figure it out and remember it.
Yeah.
What was I doing? Good question. I was working for the home healthcare company at that time.
Mm-hmm. I definitely didn't see it in theaters. I saw it when it first came on HBO. I mentioned before there's many movies on my top 100 from the early 90s, and I was living in a fraternity house. We had HBO, and there's a lot of these movies I saw over and over again on HBO. Falling Down is one, My Cousin Vinny, New Jack City, and White Man Can't Jump, which isn't on my list, but it's close. There's a lot of those movies I saw over and over and over again. They were on HBO. They were really good. but loved it for sure the first time I saw it and watched it many, many times over and over again, but even back then. Other movies in theaters at the time, Alive, Body of Evidence, Loaded Weapon 1, Army of Darkness, Falling Down, Mad Dog and Glory. Do you remember which were those you saw in theaters?
Let me take a look at that list here. Alive, Body of Evidence, Loaded with One, Army of Darkness, I saw in the theater. Falling Down, I saw in the theater. And Mad Dog and Glory, I saw in the theater. I actually don't remember a lot. Was that one of those cannibal?
That was the soccer team, I think, right?
Yeah. Didn't see that. Body of Evidence, was that a Bruce Willis movie by any chance?
No, that was Willem Dafoe, Madonna.
Yeah, no, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Loaded Weapon 1, one of the first early parody type movies.
Emilio and Sam Jackson.
Well, that was Emilio,
Lethal
Weapon. Yeah, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
I was wary of that stuff back then. Smart me.
I didn't see any of those in theaters. We've already mentioned Falling Down is on my list and very high on my list too. Mad Dog and Glory, I finally watched about 2 years ago, and it's worth seeing, but man, it's weird. You got Bill Murray playing the mob guy and Robert De Niro playing the normal guy. It's very fucking bizarre to see that, but it's not a terrible movie. It's just
like Uma Thurman, didn't it?
Yeah, Uma Thurman. That's right. Yeah. It's not a bad movie. It's just strange. Bill Murray's the mob guy.
But who was Mad Dog? Was Bill Murray Mad Dog or Robert De Niro was Mad Dog?
I don't remember.
I think.
But De Niro is the normal guy and Bill Murray's the mob guy.
Uma Thurman was Glory. I think Robert De Niro was Mad Dog. And it was like
a
sly nickname because he wasn't really
Mad Dog. Yeah. There's some good movies in there. Which of them have you seen the most?
Of those? Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
Over and over again.
Yeah.
I can't believe I just said that.
Yeah. Even if you haven't, you probably feel like you have. But I've seen.
But of the other movies, probably Army of Darkness is the next.
Next one. I've definitely seen Groundhog Day the most, but I've seen Falling Down a shitload of times too. It's definitely second, and nothing is even close to that for sure. Director on the movie, Harold Ramis.
Mr. R.
Yeah. He's pretty good. He had a pretty solid career and everything. A lot of good stuff there. The tagline on the movie, he's having the worst day of his life over and over and over.
That's a good tagline.
Yeah, it is. The Steve Park Award on this movie, I mean, I mean, I give it to Brian Doyle Murray again, because he's the award could almost be renamed Brian Doyle Murray Award.
What does this make the 27th movie he's been in on your list?
Yeah, well, four for sure. You know, Caddyshack and and Vacation and Christmas Vacation, and at least those, and there's maybe one more.
And Groundhog Day.
And Groundhog Day, yeah, at least four. There might be one more. but you know, Bechdel test on this one.
But we got Rita. We've got Doris. Got Nancy. Yeah,
Nancy.
We know some names. I'm trying to remember if
Miss Lancaster.
Miss Lancaster.
She doesn't talk to anybody except for Phil.
And then there's the piano teacher.
Yeah. She doesn't talk to anyone except for Phil.
No. When he's up there playing piano later
That's true.
She says to Rita, hey, he's my, but she's talking about him.
Talk about him, yeah.
So I don't think it does pass because the women generally talk about Phil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he's become the, especially later on in the movie when he's the new local celebrity for the day.
Yeah.
And then early on, no one really talks to anyone else.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, it's a rare movie. We have about five female characters we know the names of, but still doesn't pass. So yeah. Closer than most of my movies end up getting though. So it's time to get back to talking about the story on the movie. And we're back to the scene where we don't know what we just see him sitting there and he says gust of wind, dog barks, cue the truck, exit Herman walking into the bank, exit Felix standing with a not so bright look on your face. He says, all right, Doris, come on. Hey, fix your bra, honey. And she's, of course, says, Felix. And he's saying it. How you doing, Doris? Can I have a roll of quarters? And then you hear him counting 10, 9, 8, car, and a car password. 6, 5, quarters. She drops the quarters on the ground. 3, 2, and he just takes one of the bags and walks away. And they're all like, wasn't there another bag here? I don't know. I'm guessing that wasn't something that was protocol when you have an armored truck. Walk up and hand someone a 10 and ask for a roll of quarters. Yeah. As someone who dealt with armored bank trucks for 15 years or more,
I don't think they did.
Well, I mean, man, when I was in management, I wasn't on one, but them picking up money, you know, so.
Yeah, I don't remember ever mentioning you being inside an armored truck.
No. As far as them coming to pick money up.
Yeah, I've dealt with a few up in that end as well.
Yeah. I don't think they would stop and give you a roll of quarters.
No.
and then after this, he has you see him pull up in a classic Mercedes, dressed like Clint Eastwood. His date is in a French maid outfit, and it's another girl. Nancy walks by. He says, hey, Nancy. She just looks puzzled and keeps walking. He says, my old fiance, she doesn't remember me. He gets to the box office as one adult and two adults. You know, he's joking about her being a child. And next we see him talking to Rita. You know, what I really want is someone like you. Who's your perfect guy? And she says, first of all, he's too humble to know he's perfect. And it's all this stuff about, you know, changing poopy diapers and blah, 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 blah. And then he's like, this is a man we're talking about, right? And he's trying to get info about the stuff that she likes. And the next we see Phil removing something from the van, something from the engine. I don't know what it is, but.
It's like a distributed cap.
Oh, okay.
Kind of cap-like with wires coming out.
Something will definitely keep it from starting.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's in the bar and, she orders a sweet vermouth on the rocks with a twist, please. He'd already been there and knew. And he's like, the same. Oh, no, he orders it after he knew what she ordered. And she's like, the same. And they do a toast. And he says, to the groundhog. And she says, always drink to world peace. And I like how he tastes the drink and rolls his eyes because it's so terrible.
You know, so every time he would order the drink, because it's two or three times in a row, he said, it always reminds me of the sunset in Rome.
Yeah.
That's a cut scene where she said that the first time she ordered it.
Oh, really?
And so it didn't make it to the movie, but he used it over and over again.
Okay.
And I kept wondering, why would you keep saying like that? That's not like him. Then I realized And then I read some trivia. She said it first.
Oh, okay.
And we got cut out.
Oh, okay. I was wondering because it doesn't totally jive with what's going on, really. The bartender is, again, is always shaking his head at him, you know.
The bartender look.
Right. And Phil says, or Louis says, small town people are more real. And Phil's like, that's what I feel. Yeah, really. He's basically just copying everything she says, or the next day he'll copy it. He asks her what she studied in school and or in college, and like 19th century French poetry or something. And he laughs, like, what a waste of time. I mean, for somebody else, that would be an incredible waste of time.
Really bad save.
Yeah. Next up, we get the scene with the snowman. They're building a snowman, and then the kids come by and start throwing snowballs at him. And they're getting in a snowball fight with them, which is very spontaneous. They end up falling down, and it's very romantic. They're on the ground about to kiss. And then the next day, he tries to recreate this thing, and it's incredibly awkward.
It's incredibly cringy. That's
right.
The new word, cringy.
Right. Like, she's looking at him like, what are you doing? Like, yeah. He's kind of positioning him a certain way.
And he's like repositioning himself on the ground.
There, right.
To be happy to lucky guy. Yeah. Thinking, what's going on?
Yeah.
And apparently Harold Ramis told the kids to throw the snowball as hard as he could at Bill Murray.
Oh, really?
And he was not expecting it. So he threw his back as hard as he could as well.
Yeah. Okay. But it's great how he's trying to redo it, and it just looked very, very, very awkward. He kisses her here, and she says something about, you know, maybe we could do something tomorrow. And he's like, no, today, you know. And he says, this is real. This is love. I can't remember if she said something, but he said, that's not true. I don't even like myself. And after being rejected many, many times by her, the next day it's when he gets depressed. And you see him sitting there in the living room with the bread and breakfast or whatever, watching TV. And he's got a bottle of whiskey in his hand and Jeopardy's on. Of course, it's the same episode. It's been on every day.
Yeah.
So he's answering the questions before they're even asked. And he even stares at Miss Lancaster.
And gives an answer.
Mrs. Roan, before it's even asked. And she's looking at him like, what the fuck? What's going on? And he's chugging right out of the bottle. All the people are clapping for him. It's great. The next day, he's reporting the groundhog ceremony. And he's like, they used to pull the hog out of the ground. They used to eat it. Hypocrites. All of you. You're hypocrites. The next time the alarm clock goes off, you just see him smash it with his fist. Then the next day, he's talking about how to stop the day. He's looking at the groundhog. He's like, I don't see any other way. You must be stopped. And this is where he steals the groundhog. And he's got the groundhog in his lap and the steering wheel in front of him, driving the truck. And they crash into the quarry. And
apparently the groundhog bit Bill Murray several times.
Oh, yeah.
Stitches.
Yeah.
They gotten a groundhog, obviously not Phil, mm-hmm. real Phil, that was, bred and raised to be sedate or whatever on movies, yeah. But wasn't used to any of this stuff, so he angry and bit Bill Murray.
Oh, yeah.
He was scared and bit Bill Murray.
This is where he takes off, you know, and they get him trapped, and they think, you know, and then he just jumps the trucks right into the quarry, and it lands and it explodes. And Larry's like, well, he might be okay. And
then the big explosion.
Explodes, like, well, yeah, maybe not now. Do you hear the squeal of the groundhog day? Groundhog?
I did not hear.
Because I don't think it's necessarily 100% supposed to be that's what it is, but there's a little, like the second explosion, there's a little squeal, and I don't know if that's supposed to be a groundhog or it's just another sound.
I'm not sure, but I think that it was right after this. There's a scene after the explosion mm-hmm. with Rita and what's his name?
Larry.
Mm-hmm. And the first time I realized that, well, look, they're showing stuff that happens in the day, despite the fact that Phil is dead.
Mm-hmm.
So the day itself is completely repeating. It's not just Phil.
Oh, yeah.
For Phil, yeah. He dies and he wakes up the next morning. But this shows that the day itself is still continuing.
Oh, okay.
Which, of course, doesn't mean anything when it starts over the next day.
Right. Huh. Yeah, I never thought about that before.
Either that or Phil was still alive under there.
Yeah. And then after this, you know, he wakes up the next morning. He's still there. He goes the toaster out of the kitchen and takes it up in the bathtub, sits in it, and kills himself that way. Then he steps out in front of a truck, and the next day he's on top of a tall building. He jumps off the building, and the next day is when he's talking to Rita in the diner, and she's like, "What? What are you talking about?" He's like, "I'm a god. I'm a god. I'm not the god," which is one of my favorite lines. I've used that line many times. It's from this movie. It's so great. I'm a god. I'm not the god. She's like, well, he's like, let me prove it. Something like that. He's like, this is Doris. He tells her story. And this is Debbie and her fiance, Fred. This is Bill, the waiter.
Oh, Fred. Michael Shannon.
Michael Shannon.
His
yeah.
first movie role. Actually.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah. Massive, movie star now. Yeah. He's been great. He was great on Boardwalk Empire too. Played like the the alcohol, tobacco, and firearm ATF guy or whatever. Boardwalk Empire, but yeah, outstanding, big movie star. Yeah, he's like probably 20 here or something like that. Yeah. Probably. He's telling the story of here's Bill the waiter. He's telling the story. Everybody he knows, everyone's life story. And he's like, a waiter's going to drop a tray of dishes. And, then he drops them. And
he counts it out 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Crash. Yeah. Yeah. And she stays with him that day. And he's very sweet to her. And then again.
He also writes down what Larry's going to say.
Yeah.
When he gets it. And watch this. And he writes this down, hands it to her. And Larry comes in and says, we got
better get going. We've got to stay out of the weather. Yeah.
That's exactly what he wrote down.
Yeah, you're right. So she stays with him all day, and she's very, he's very sweet to her. And then again, I Got You, Babe starts all over again. He gets to the homeless guy, and he gives him a lot of cash. And then he brings coffee and pastries for Rita and Larry. Larry's makes a suggestion about where we should set up. He's like, yeah, maybe we'll get lucky, or it's very nice to him. He's reading in the diner. He's just reading in the diner, and he hears music with the piano and gets the idea about her liking someone who plays an instrument.
I know that she had mentioned that earlier, that she likes the guy that plays music, an instrument. But right here at this point, he gets that look in his face, but I'm not too sure entirely that it's for her that he does that, because he doesn't say it is. He didn't point it out. And Dickish Phil would point it out that that's what he's doing to someone somehow, somewhere. He'd even tell the lady, the piano teacher, I'm trying to impress a girl. But he didn't say that, which is odd. So to me, it might be, maybe he really just decided he wanted to learn something, which is, again, another part of the evolution of Phil to become the man that Rita really likes.
Mm-hmm.
He can't just pretend to be that. You have to be that. And I think by him not explicitly stating or implying some way that he's learning the piano just for her, that it leads to him becoming, the man she wants.
Yeah. He goes up to the house where the piano teacher lives. It's like, I would like to learn piano. She's like, well, I'm with another student right now. It's like, well, I have $1,000. And you see her rushing this little girl out the front door. She's looking back like, and then you hear him start to play the piano. It's just like, bing, 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 bing. Yeah, just nothing. Like, obviously a starter, beginner. He comes out the front door in the morning, and the one guy that greets him, and he's like, buongiorno, signore. He's all very happy. And he gets out front, and he walks by the ice sculpture. And he's like, okay, he walks by the ice sculpture, but he doesn't do it yet. But, he's talking to the piano teacher here. She says, not bad. You say this is his first lesson. You can tell he's getting a little better. This is where he walks by Ned. He's like, Ned, I've missed you so much. Can you call in sick? It makes him very uncomfortable.
And he goes, I got to go.
Yeah. He sees the homeless guy struggling, and, he actually dies. He takes to the emergency room, whatever, and he just the woman says, "Well, it's just his time, just out of old age."
And sometimes you just die.
Yeah,
not today.
Not today. Yeah,
which is a good line.
Yeah, yeah. And the next day, you see him buying soup and lots of food, and then you see him laying in the alleys, giving him CPR, and there's the next thing where he's speaking in front of the camera doing his report for the news, and he's speaking very fondly of the town and everything, and everyone is listening. Rita's smiling. The whole town is just loves everything he's talking about. Rita wants to have some of his time. He's like, "No, sorry, I got some errands to run." She's like, "Errands? What errands?" You know, and this is where he's looking at his watch running down the sidewalk, and he starts running. And then the kid in the tree, who's going to fall out of the tree, and he barely gets there in time and catches him.
Now, when the first time that he takes the old man to the hospital, mm-hmm. he's told the guy's dead, in the background is the kid with a broken leg.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Yeah. Oh, okay. So that's where he found out that happened, I guess. He gets to the kid, he catches the kid, and the kid, he puts him down, he runs off. He's like, "I'll see you tomorrow, maybe. Never thank me." So great. Next we get those old ladies having the flat tire, and then he's right there with the jack and putting a new tire on, and they're like, "Is that an earthquake?" It's like, "No, it's not an earthquake." And he's pumping up their tire, he's replacing their tire. Next his brother is choking at the steakhouse.
You mean the mayor?
Right, Buster. The mayor, exactly. Performing a Heimlich on his brother there. And here's where Larry is hitting on Nancy at the bar. And again, bartender shakes his head.
The bartender look.
Right. And Larry left a tip down for him because him and Nancy were going to where Phil was. And then when Nancy looked away, he took some of his tip back.
Yeah. It looked like he put down $2 and pulled $1 back.
Right.
What a cheap.
Yeah, right. And you get
this whole sequence leading up to here. Everything Phil's doing is really selfless. And it's not really to impress anyone because he's really just coming out of nowhere and helping these people.
Mm-hmm.
And you realize that after all this time, which some people have speculated has been many, many years for mm-hmm. Phil doing all this over and over again,
mm-hmm.
that he's slowly come to the realization that helping people that need help is its own reward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, he's, yeah. And this is where Phil's up on stage playing piano extremely well, and his piano teacher says, "Isn't he good? He's my student." I love the piano teacher taking credit for him being an outstanding piano teacher.
Which is really kind of odd because at this point he's so good that she still would have only taught him for like an hour.
Right.
And the only thing she remembers is he came in this good and left just as good.
Right, right. You know? Exactly.
But she calls him her student.
Right, right. And he's dancing with Rita, and this is where he gives WrestleMania tickets to Michael Shannon and his
Fred
girlfriend.
Fred and Ginger. I don't know if it's not Ginger. I just can't remember what it was.
And they're like, "WrestleMania, like we were going to be in Pittsburgh anyway." And they're all happy about WrestleMania tickets. This is where we get the Bachelor auction, and everyone is bidding on Phil. And then Rita, looks down, and I'm sure it's at her checkbook, and she's
she's got her checkbook in her hand.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can kind of see that through the crowd because when she holds it up later, she definitely has it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you know what you're looking for, she's looking at her checkbook.
Yeah, yeah. She says $339.88. Yeah. And then Larry comes up on stage, and they play the was it like the stripper music, like boom, 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 boom.
And one little old lady bits two bits, and he goes sold.
Yeah, sold for a quarter. Yeah,
he looks at Larry, looks at see what he goes. Oh my god.
Yeah, and Ned comes up and talks to Rita and Phil, and even Rita's kind of insulting Ned, like let's not spoil it or something like that.
So a little bit about that line there. Apparently, it was supposed to be, let's not ruin it,
mm-hmm.
but. Andy wanted to use her natural North Carolina accent. You can hear
mm-hmm.
her speaking with that kind of Southern mm-hmm. drawl the whole time. And whenever she said ruin, it came out ream.
Oh, really?
That's not reading it. mean, so they're like, and she kind of ad-libbed this. Let's not spoil it. So it would come out a clear word instead of the heavily accented word.
Okay.
Didn't quite make
it. Speaking of, before I forget it, one day when I was working, I used to work for Quick Trip, was a convenience store chain here in Atlanta. And
I think it's pretty much nationwide now. I mean, well, not full nation, but
it's in many cities, yeah. But it's not nationwide. Like most people have never heard of Quick Trip.
Well, but I'm pretty sure it's not in Kansas for sure.
Yeah. Oh, it's definitely in Kansas. Yeah, yeah, it is Wichita and everything. Anyway, when I was working at the one on Hamilton Mill Road, I was turned around. I didn't see her. Annie McDowell came into my store one day, and hey. I did not see her. And several customers, she walked out, and several customers says, "That was that girl from Groundhog Day." And someone else like, "Annie McDowell? Yeah, that was her. That was her." I didn't see her, but she came in apparently one day. Anyway, kind of sad I missed that one. This is where Phil's working on ice sculpting, and he's sculpting her face. And she's like, "Wow, this is amazing." He's like, "Well, we're almost done. I still have to put some cherry syrup on the top, then we can eat it, you know." He wakes up in the morning, and you hear the radio, "I got you, babe." He's like, "Oh, please, not again." And you hear her say, "It's too early."
You see her hand reach over and clip off the radio.
Yeah, yeah. And he pinches her arm, like, to see if it's real. He says, "Something is different." And she says, "Good or bad?" He's like, "Anything different is good, but this could be real good." He's like, "Why are you still here?" She says, "I bought you, so I own you." And he's like, feels like something like, "Is that easy?" And she's like, "You said it'd stay, so I stayed." He gets up and looks outside, and the streets are covered with snow, and there's not a bunch of people walking around, so he knows it's tomorrow.
The next day.
And he said, "It's happened. Today is tomorrow." And she's like, you know, puzzled, but he's like, "It was the end of a very long day." And he says, let's live here. And this is a terrible last line. He says, we can rent to start. It's a terrible last line for a great movie. We can rent to start.
So the scene where at the very end where he kind of picks her up over the gate, and the gate wouldn't open, it was frozen shut.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So. Okay. And we'll be back right after this.
I'm sorry. What was that again?
I'm a god.
You're a god.
I'm a god. I'm not the god. I don't think.
Because you survived a car wreck?
You folks ready to order?
I didn't just survive a wreck. I wasn't just blown up yesterday. I have been stabbed, shot, poisoned, frozen, hung, electrocuted, and burned.
Oh, really?
And every morning I wake up without a scratch on me, not a dent in the fender. I am an immortal.
Special today is blueberry waffles.
Why are you telling me this?
Because I want you to believe in me.
You're not a god. You can take my word for it. This is 12 years of Catholic school talking.
I could come back if you're not ready.
How do you know I'm not a god?
Oh, please.
How do you know?
Because it's not possible.
I'll come back.
Doris. This is Doris. Her brother-in-law, Carl, owns this diner. She's worked here since she was 17. More than anything else in her life, she wants to see Paris before she dies.
Oh, boy, would I.
What are you doing?
This is Debbie Kleiser and her fiancé, Fred.
Do I know you?
They're supposed to be getting married this afternoon, but Debbie is having second thoughts.
What?
Lovely ring.
This is Bill. He's been a waiter for 3 years since he left Penn State and had to get work. He likes the town, he paints toy soldiers, and he's gay.
I am.
This is Gus. He hates his life here. He wishes he stayed in the Navy.
Well, I could have retired on half pay after 20 years.
Excuse me? Is this some kind of trick?
Well, maybe the real God uses tricks. You know, maybe he's not omnipotent. He's just been around for long. He knows everything.
Oh, okay. Well, who's that?
This is Tom. He worked in the coal mine until they closed the town.
And her?
It's Alice. Came over here from Ireland when she was a baby. She lived in Erie most of her life.
He's right. And her?
Nancy. She works in the dress shop and makes noises like a chipmunk when she gets real excited.
Hey!
It's true.
How do you know these people?
I told you. I know everything. In about 5 seconds, a waiter's going to drop a tray of dishes. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay?
Okay, that's enough. What about me, Phil? Do you know me too?
I know all about you. You like producing, but you hope for more than Channel 9 Pittsburgh.
Well, everyone knows that.
You like boats, but not the ocean. You go to a lake in the summer with your family up in the mountains. There's a long wooden dock and a boathouse with boards missing from the roof. And a place you used to crawl underneath to be alone. You're a sucker for French poetry and rhinestones. You're very generous. You're kind to strangers and children. And when you stand in the snow, you look like an angel.
How are you doing this?
I told you, I wake up every day right here, right in Punxsutawney, and it's always February 2nd. And there's nothing I can do about it. If you still can't believe me, listen. In 10 seconds, Larry is going to come through that door and take you away from me. But you can't let him.
Larry.
Please believe me. You've got to believe me.
Hey. You guys ready? We better get going if we're going to stay ahead of the weather. What's that?
If we're going to stay ahead of the weather.
We are back here on the podcast talking about Groundhog Day. Time to play one of the trivia games we play here every week. We're doing the one where we take turns. We're going to give each other a name. Have 60 seconds to name all the movies that person's been in. And Paul, would you like to give me a name first? Or
I'll take a name first.
Okay. Your name is Bruce Willis.
Pulp Fiction.
One.
Blind Date.
Two.
Die Hard.
Three.
Die Hard with Vengeance.
Four.
All the other Die Hard movies. Let's see. Look Who's Talking.
Five.
Look Who's Talking. Two.
Six.
Last Man Standing.
Seven.
That really bad movie. I can't remember the name of. Armageddon.
Eight.
I don't know which one of those he was in.
Time.
Okay. Eight. Any big ones that I missed that you think off the top of your head?
I was thinking the 12 Monkeys.
Sixth Sense.
Sixth Sense. Yeah, that's the other one. Sixth Sense.
Mm.
And there was three. There's three. Look Who's Talking.
Yeah, I couldn't remember how many what the subtitles were. And then there was the Expendables. He's in
Look
one
Who's Talking Now was the other.
He's in one or two of the Expendables. I can't remember.
Yeah.
And the bad one, four, not Ford Fairlane. What was it? Hudson Hawk. Hudson Hawk.
Oh yeah.
One of his early flops.
Looper.
Looper. Oh, that was a good one too.
Yeah. I don't know. It's been a lot.
Yeah.
So what name do you have for me?
I think we've done this thing before. I'm going to hit it up again. I just did a little survey of all your movies. I don't think he's in any of your movies.
Really?
Harrison Ford.
Star Wars.
One.
Episode 4. New Hope. Star Wars Episode 5. Empire Strikes Back. Star Wars Episode 6. Return of the Jedi.
Three.
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Four.
Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Five.
Raiders... Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Six.
Patriot Games.
Seven.
American Graffiti.
Eight.
Apocalypse Now.
Nine.
Frantic.
Ten.
Witness.
11.
Regarding Henry.
12.
Six Days, Seven Nights.
13.
Working Girl.
14.
Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull, maybe.
15. 14.
And time.
I think it's Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think I got that one exactly right.
I couldn't remember what it was either.
That's why I waited to say it.
I can't remember if we did Harrison Ford before, but I thought of the name and like, he's in one of these movies. I went back and looked at your list.
Yeah.
And he's not in any of your movies.
Yeah, I guess he's not. Yeah.
If he's got a small part in
one of those, I didn't even say The Fugitive.
Yeah,
The Fugitive.
He's done so many movies, but he's none of yours.
Yeah, that's a good point. Fugitive would have been the closest to my top 100, but it didn't make it. And even then, it's probably...
Because I think Bill Murray's been in 3 or 4. Even Chris Elliott's been in a couple. Harrison Ford? No.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he's not been in any of them. I think Fugitive would be the closest, probably. Or maybe Raiders. First Raiders, maybe.
Oh, Unbreakable for Willis.
It's
one of my favorite movies.
And Glass and whatever else.
Split, believe it or not, games in there.
Oh, yeah.
At the end of Split.
Yeah. Who's your guy in this movie, Groundhog Day?
Who's my guy in this movie? I'm going to go with Andie MacDowell. And that's because this was like one of the first movies where she had this really big leading role. And she just did a great job.
Mm-hmm.
Before then, she was just, pretty face, tall model, mm-hmm. The girl everyone wanted. Mm-hmm. Not so much that. I think it was around this time she also did Six Lives and Videotape, and then after this, she did Multiplicity with Michael Keaton, directed by Harold Ramis again.
That's a good one.
So I think this was, for me, the beginning of liking her as an actress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's a good one. I'll go with Chris Elliott. I'm very pleased that he's the third billed actor in a pretty major, big-time movie, really, or a movie this movie makes a lot of people's top 100s or top 10s, for that matter, lots of people, way more than when it came out. This is a movie that so many people love, and I'm like the fact that Chris Elliott is the third billed person in a movie that's that good, so... I mean, his show, Get a Life, on Fox.
Oh, I remember that way back when,
was such a ridiculous... David Merkin, who would later on be a showrunner on the Simpsons, he was the showrunner there, and it's just a fucking ridiculous...
We had a nice little role in How I Met Your Mother as Lily's dad.
Oh, yeah.
Very smarmy kind of character.
Yeah. We just saw him in There's Something About Mary.
Something About Mary,
He's a good one, yeah. So it's time to talk about the villains list. I'm going to, before we discuss who the villain is in this movie, I'm going to tell you that our top 10 villains list, if you haven't been following along too closely, we have a top 10 villains list that's been accumulating since the beginning. And each movie we pick a villain and we try to rank them within our top 10, depending on how evil they are, basically. So here's where it is at the bottom, number 10. Bricktop from Snatch, Nino Brown from New Jack City, Hans Landa from Inglourious Basterds, Dudley Smith from LA Confidential, the Xenomorph from Alien, Nurse Ratched from Cuckoo's Nest, Wicked Witch of the West from Wizard of Oz, Norman Bates from Psycho, Hannibal Lecter from Silence of the Lambs, and Michael Myers from Halloween is number one.
Michael Myers.
Yep. And so who's the villain in this movie?
Well, time, it seems to be the villain.
Mm-hmm.
There's no villain here. It's Bill Murray doing things over and over again, slowly learning, how to be a normal human being, so to speak.
Yeah.
Although actually taking so much time, he becomes more of an extraordinary human being, I think.
Yeah.
But no one really trying to stop him.
Mm-hmm.
No one's impeding him. No one's being mean or vicious or malicious.
Yeah.
So there's no villain here.
No. So, and even if there's no way they make our list.
In the earlier movie, Quick Change with Bill Murray, I think we named the city of New York as the villain because the city of Newark was the one that really trying to stop them from getting out.
Right.
But there's no such villain.
Definitely not. And they certainly didn't make our list, even if there was one.
Even in the traditional view I like to take, where you have the hero's story arc,
mm-hmm.
it's repeated over and over again, and nothing impedes Phil from doing anything he wants.
Mm hmm.
It's just that repetitiveness continuously gets him to move his own self to a different state of mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, no villain here. Time to talk about the list. Well, we already know that this is number 2 on my list.
I'm going
to
guess right now that it's probably either 1 or 2. I'm going to go with number 2.
Yeah, number 2. Yeah. That's right. So, Paul, would this be on your top 100 list?
Yeah. It's a good movie.
Yeah.
I'm not sure exactly where it would be. It's in there. I think in the top 20, though.
Yeah. Yeah, this is, I think this makes a lot of people's lists, high up on a lot of people's lists. This movie is loved by so many people. It gets talked about on different things, not just, what you would expect, like podcasts. It gets talked about on, you know, it's just one of those things. Everybody knows the general plot of the movie. Even if you haven't seen it, everyone knows the general plot.
And although I think there were several movies before Groundhog Day that did the time loop type thing, but there have been, I think, a lot more after it.
Oh, yeah.
So well, the biggest one that comes to mind is
Tom Cruise.
Edge of Tomorrow. Yeah. Live, Die, Repeat.
Right, right.
I think Edge of Tomorrow was the original title. And because of the nature of it, they renamed it Edge of Tomorrow, Live, Die, Repeat, which I think was actually the tagline for the movie, Live, Die, Repeat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, this movie is loved by so many people, and there's a good reason for it. I mean, that's why it's number two on my list. I'm gonna say what didn't make the list. I mean, I'd just pick, I don't know. I've mentioned before, Stripes, cause it's got Harold Ramis and Bill Murray in it. And it's a good one.
John Candy.
Yeah. John Candy, John Larroquette.
John Larroquette.
You know, it's something that when I was young,
Sean Young, PJ Soul.
Oh yeah. When I was younger, it definitely would have made my, it was in my top 20 or something when I was a little kid, but still a good movie. Do you have any plugs?
I do not have any plugs at this time that I can think of.
No. Okay. Plugs, I'm just going to say the podcast. If you know someone that doesn't understand how to download a podcast, show them how to do it. Show them how to subscribe, love it, or like it, or review it, things like that. Help us get more listeners to show up on
lists. And we're still looking for that subscriber, downloader in Antarctica.
Yes.
So contact all your Antarctican friends and relatives and get one of them to listen.
Yes.
Download.
Yes.
Please. We need that seventh continent. We want that seventh continent. Yes.
That would be.
At this rate, someone on the moon is going to download before Antarctica.
Right, right. Maybe one of the billionaires that are flying out into space or something, probably. Something to talk about what we're doing next week. You know, next week is going to be the number one movie on my list.
The number one movie on your list?
Yeah, number one next week. So next week, get a burger from Big Kahuna Burger, get some blueberry pancakes and a $5 shake. That's right. Next week, we're talking about Pulp Fiction on 100 Movies I Love.
100 Movies You Love.
Where have you been? You're missing all the fun. Bill, you look terrible. What happened? Rough night?
Yeah. Okay, campers. Rise and shine. And don't forget your booties, because it's cold out there today. It's cold out there every day.
This country's largest lake, Chapala, is located near the city of Guadalajara.
What is Mexico?
Leslie.
What is Mexico?
Correct.
Lakes and Rivers 400.
Seneca is the largest of these lakes in west central New York.
What are the Finger Lakes?
Jim.
What are the Finger Lakes?
Correct.
Lakes and Rivers for 600.
Yes. This South American lake drains into the smaller lake.
What is Titicaca?
In Bolivia. Jim.
What is Titicaca?
Correct.
Lakes and rivers for 1,000.
Milky colored from glacial clay when entering Lake Geneva, this river is clear blue upon exiting. Jim.
What is the Rhone?
The Rhone. Good for $1,000. You are $500 off the lead right now.
Let's go to inventors for 200.
This is pitiful. 1,000 people freezing their butts off waiting to worship a rat. What a hype. Sound like they used to mean something in this town. They used to pull the hog out and they used to eat it. You're hypocrites, all of you. You got a problem with what I'm saying, Larry? Untie your tongue and you come out here and talk, huh? Am I upsetting you, princess? You know, you want a prediction about the weather. You're asking the wrong Phil. I'll give you a winter prediction. It's gonna be cold. It's gonna be gray. And it's gonna last you for the rest of your life.